Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, via Zoom, is
Sesame Incarta.
Sesame Incarta.
Yep.
We're sticking with this, huh?
We are.
Okay.
That's going to be the name of my, Tame Impala type of ripoff band. It's going to be called Sesame Incarta.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
When's your album come out?
What's that?
When's your album come out?
Probably like 5-10 years from now, but because I also got to work on the Gator Smoke album, so I got two projects now I got to do.
That's true.
Like Gator Smoke's probably going to come out first, though. I'm going to do Gator Smoke first, because that one felt inspired.
Or they could come out at the same time, depending on what point in time you live and what multiverse you're in. And
yeah, I guess. And if there's variants of me who are also doing the same thing, I mean, I don't know. There might be a variant of me that's like a lawyer and doesn't like to listen to music at all. In fact, just hates music. You know,
could be who knows? Could be like Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos says he doesn't understand music.
He doesn't? Well, what's
he says he doesn't like music, he doesn't enjoy it, and he doesn't understand it. and it's not like, hey, I don't understand rap, I don't understand country. It's, I don't understand all music.
Well, he's like a robot, so that's probably why, he's like, I don't like, this does not compute my math brain, I must calculate numbers.
He would memorize the call letters of local radio stations just so he could sound cool when he was talking to his friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely something that he would do. Like, if that's true, it's like just totally something that he would think that other people thought is cool.
Yeah.
Even though it's not. Like, I knew a guy like that in like junior high. Like, he would like he would think like he was like ahead of the curve. And everyone else was stupid, but everyone else would just be shooting him looks like
yeah. But disgusting. he would like memorize the number, the call letters, just so he could like join in on conversations when people are talking about music. Mm. So he'd be like, "Yeah, I heard that on WWJ the other day, you know, or whatever." So
it's like really sad, actually.
Yeah.
Where did you hear this from?
I was listening to a podcast about him the other day. Okay. So anyway, so
that's just really bizarre. Yes. But like, I could totally see how he's trying to approximate. There seems to be a theme of like people like that who like become billionaires, and it's like you know him and like also like Mark Zuckerberg, you know, Facebook dude, where it's like every aspect of like what makes a human being just all goes to like one part of their brain, and that's all. So like they're just like they're not like a person. So it's like you got musical talent or musical, you know, if you like music and art, whatever, all that stuff. It's like we gotta go to this one part of the brain, and then just tells them just make as much money as possible for really no reason at all, just to do it for its own sake, and don't actually spend that money on anything that actually brings you joy in life, other than just making more money. And it's like, that's why, like, I have a theory. That's the reason why you ever notice that, like, they never really have any facial expressions. It's just like a still face almost. So it's just like, I wonder about that, you know?
You know what else I wonder about?
I know, I'm just saying. What's that?
The fact that the world has rejected Peter Parker.
I don't like that.
No. So, today on the show, we are covering Spider-Man, No Way Home. Spider-Man, No Way Home.
Spider-Man, yes. Yes. Spider-Man.
Peter Spider-Man. That was his name, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So, anyways, in this movie, first off, I was going to ask you, Matt, what was your reaction to this film?
It was, man, it was really deep, you know, for like a superhero movie. I mean, they've all been getting progressively more, I guess, cinematic is the word. I don't know what word you would use, but like they really, ever since like they started the Avengers movies, each one has just had a little bit more depth to it, and they just keep building upon it. I mean, you know, this one's like, I say this one's even deeper than Endgame. I know Endgame is like the huge, you know, conclusion to like, you know, a really long story arc, but I don't know, I just came out this one just a lot of like thoughts, you know, like emotions, because like I can't I don't want to give anything away right away, you know, but it's just I really, really liked it, you know, because it was very deep. It was you know, like basically, like I heard someone else say that this was like this entire film series is Peter's origin story, as opposed to like the other movies where like they've already kind of got past the origin story and now we're seeing them.
Yeah, you know, it's like, funny because when they started, you know, everybody was like, "Oh, they're skipping the origin story," but this is actually
like this is the three movies now. You know, he's finally sort of at the maturity level that, you know, like the Tobey Maguire ones and the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies were. Because they were kind of like, I don't know, already like maybe 18, 19. I think Andrew Garfield, he was already like 20s at the time.
No, they were actually all in high school when they started.
Oh, okay.
The actors weren't, but the... Yeah, so, anyways, yeah, my reaction to it is very similar. I think it's actually probably one of the best superhero films ever made. You know, I'll probably say that until the next one comes out, and I'll be like blown away by that. But... knowing the way my mind works, but this I mean, it was definitely one of the best of the year. I mean, I think Shang-Chi was really good too, so it's kind of hard to, you know, say, but this was definitely better than Shang-Chi. But Shang-Chi was an origin story and it was kind of, you know,
yeah, I mean, it's the first,
yeah,
you know, of its probably trilogy or four movies or however many they decide to make,
depending on how much money it's making. And so here we go. I'm going to break down some of the plot here, Matt. Is that cool?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so what we got here in this movie, and just warn you, everybody, we're spoiling everything. So it's going to be in the title of this, but still. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch the movie, then come back and listen to us, okay? So, it starts out right where the last one ended. Where it's after Quentin Beck framed Peter Parker for murder and publicly revealed his identity as Spider-Man. And so... we got this whole, like, really cool opening, you know, scene. It's really cool in 3D. If you see it in 3D. It's cool otherwise, too, I'm sure. But, you know, we got them swinging through the town, MJ and Peter. They get back to Aunt May's house. And, so basically what ends up happening then is the Department of Damage Control, which is an organization that was basically created to clean up things like after superheroes destroy things. But now somehow they are also in charge of interrogating people after things like this happen. Yeah.
It makes sense, kind of.
Yeah, so so Ned leads MJ, Aunt May, and Peter are all interrogated by them. At one point, Ned basically starts spilling everything.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. But they all end up getting their charges dropped with the help of a special lawyer. Who was that lawyer, Matt?
That was Daredevil.
Matt Murdock, yes.
The same actor from the Marvel
Netflix
series.
The Netflix television series, yes.
Yeah.
Which was a pretty cool cameo. So MJ and Ned and Peter all apply to MIT. And because of what's going on, they're all rejected. As well as rejected to, like, every other school they apply to.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with
their grades, because of they want to be associated with the controversy. Because
they're all smart kids, so, you know.
Yeah. Really advanced students or whatever you call it.
And so this puts Peter down in the dumps, basically. So he goes to visit his fellow Avenger, Stephen Strange, at the Sanctum Sanctorum.
Sanctorum, isn't it?
I'm sorry, I spoke too fast. I do at times. I speak fast. I'm like the Flash. But so he basically comes to him with his problem. Another interesting thing that we learn while we're there, first off, is that Strange is no longer the Sorcerer Supreme.
Right.
Because he was blipped for 5 years, Wong took over by default.
I mean, yeah, like, I never really thought about, I mean, I guess I just assumed that, you know, he would have been blipped too, but there's really
no
proof that happened, so.
Yeah.
So yeah, for 5 straight years, I mean,
yeah,
that's probably longer than
however
long Doctor Strange was, actually.
Probably. Or at least close to. Because
he was doing like 3 years. Yeah.
So yeah. So, he comes to Strange for help, and Strange suggests that he does a spell that would make people forget Parker is Superman. I mean, Superman, Spider-Man. I can't talk today, Matt.
Well, you know, we are talking about, like, jumping through realities and stuff, so maybe...
They are going to forget that he's Superman.
Maybe there is a reality...
Spider-Man, but...
Yeah. Maybe there's a reality where Superman's a Marvel character, you know, and that Peter Parker is that guy. You know?
Yeah.
You don't know. Well, at first he wanted to do like a time travel thing, didn't he? Or like,
yeah, he asked him to do a time travel thing where he could go back in time where Quentin Beck would not let people know that Peter Parker is Superman or Spider-Man. Why do I keep saying Superman?
Wow, that's going to be a new one. Just do a t-shirt. Peter Parker is Superman.
I'm going to.
Yes. I have like a cape where it looks like it's either have him look like Superman in a Spider-Man costume or have a Spider-Man in a Superman costume or something that's like a combination.
I'll figure this out. It'll be up there eventually. check out our T Public, folks. Keep an eye on it. He basically wanted, you know, people to forget that he was Spider-Man. And so they ended up coming up with a spell that will do that. Which Wong basically warns against, and then he takes off in one of his little one of his little, you know, portal thingies.
You know, the suitcase. Where is he going? He's got suitcases. He's, you know,
who knows? He goes a lot of places. I mean, he showed up in Shang-Chi fighting the Abomination. So it's like, you know, it's
like, he like recruiting people for something, or like, I have no idea what he's.
We'll probably find out in Multiverse of Madness. So,
yeah, maybe. Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So we've got the Strange is going to cast this spell, but Peter is freaking out. He's like, well, what about my Aunt May? What about MJ? What about Ned? You know, and Happy and everybody else, you know, why, you know, I want them to remember who I am. And then he basically fucks up the spell while it's going on. And Strange manages to contain the spell. And Parker and basically says, you know, get the fuck out of my place, Peter. You know, yeah. So Peter finds out that through Flash, not the Flash, but Flash Thompson. Yeah.
He did write a book called Flashpoint,
which is hilarious, because if you think about the whole idea of Flashpoint, it's all about creating a different timeline.
Yeah.
And yeah.
So that was kind of an interesting nod to a DC character.
Which is funny, because I do know that the, you know, the Flash movie that's coming out is going to be kind of similar to this in concept, because they're going to have, you know, Michael Keaton's Batman in it and other things. So,
right, yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. Yeah.
Yep.
He finds out through Flash about this, woman who's the MIT administrator. He finds out that she's on her way to the airport, so he does this Spider-Man stuff and figures out where she is. She's on the highway. He's trying to convince her to let MJ and Ned in, you know. Doesn't really care about himself, he just wants them to get into MIT, you know.
Yeah.
Because he's a selfless guy.
Nice dude, yeah. He's just about his friends.
And he's wearing a whole wrinkly suit. And you know why he's got a wrinkly suit, Matt?
No.
Because he no longer has an Iron Man.
Oh, man.
Sorry.
I don't like that. That makes me really sad. I still haven't gotten over. I still watched that freaking Tony Stark tribute video that came out like 2 years ago.
Oh, jeez.
And I still get like crying through Choked it when up. They go through like his origin story and everything. God, Iron Man was such a cool character.
So, suddenly while he's there talking to the lady, Otto Octavius shows up.
Well, it's impossible.
As in, and it's not, you know, a new Otto Octavius. It is Otto Octavius from Spider-Man 2, starring Tobey Maguire, and...
Yeah, which is weird, because he had died, supposedly.
Yeah.
Supposedly. which is interesting, because it's not a variant. It's the actual character from the Tobey Maguire. Yeah, not a... which is interesting to me, because which is interesting to me is... Didn't he die at the end of Spider-Man 2? I don't remember. It's been such a long time since I
saw. Yeah, he did. But that's where we get into things later.
So he pretty much came from a point in time before he had actually... Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So what ends up happening is he gets in a big fight with Iron Man, Iron Spider suit. Yeah. Peter Parker is every superhero, man.
He's Iron Man. He's Superman. What else do we got thrown?
He's the Human Torch. He's Batman. He's the Flash. He's
He's
Batwoman. He's everybody. Yeah. You know, I'm
he's everybody.
Yeah.
Peter Parker is like a Nexus being, who all the other superheroes like coalesce into him as like a kid. You know. Then that's how they rejuvenate themselves. Then, you know, then they come back out and they do their thing or whatever. That's, yeah.
He's even randomly Jimmy Olsen. It's just weird, you know. But anyway, so the...
yeah.
Oh, God. I need help, Matt. So we've got him fighting Doc Ock and, at one point, Octavius rips Peter's nanotechnology from his Iron Spider suit, which bonds with his mechanical tentacles. And then that ends up allowing Parker to control them and disable them.
That was cool.
The MIT lady's like hanging off of the bridge in her car. She's stuck in it. He ends up saving her. In a very similar way to what Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man saved people on a bridge in his movies. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting.
Yeah. So we've got, you know, and of course, Octavius is like, you're not Peter, you know, you're not the Peter I know, you know, you look different.
Yeah, exactly. You're not my Peter. What, you know, he's like just as confused as, you know,
and anyone else. If I learned anything, you shouldn't play with other people's Peters. So, oh, wait.
No. Probably not, no.
Not without permission.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
you need consent. Anyway, so the.
Yeah, pretty basic importance, yeah.
Yes.
Like, very beginning low level, like.
Sorry, it was right there. I had to do it. Anyway, so well, the
they already do that with the whole Peter Tingle thing or yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I know. So. Peter Tingle. during this fight, Norman Osborn appears. So,
AKA Green Goblin.
Yeah. From the Tobey Maguire movies as well.
So we got two villains from the Tobey Maguire movies. Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Just saying.
Yeah. So we have Strange ends up capturing Doc Ock and places him in a holding cell in the sanctum alongside Kurt Connors, a.k.a. the Lizard.
Huh.
From the Andrew Garfield movies.
Yeah. Huh. That's very interesting, yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, Strange then explains to Peter that the spell has summoned people from other parts of the multiverse who in their universe know that Parker is Spider-Man in their world. So... Strange then orders Parker to get Ned and MJ to help him to find the, you know, remaining people. They all come there, and, you know, and he wants them to Scooby-Doo this shit.
MJ tells him to say please.
Yes. It's another magical word.
Fine, please, Scooby-Doo this shit.
Yes. So then, Parker then ends up locating and captures both Max Dillon, a.k.a. Electro, from the Garfield films. Mm-hmm. Not like Garfield movies, like with Bill Murray or anything. I'm talking about the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man. No, just making sure that was understood.
The fellow from the Social Network movie.
Yeah.
The Facebook movie.
Yeah.
We don't, reluctantly, we don't have Mark Zuckerberg as a villain, though, in this movie, so.
No.
There's no, like, Zuckerberg beast or monster or robot or whatever.
He's more of a, him and Bezos are more of a Lex Luthor type of guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Or a, you know, Maxwell Lord sort of guy or something, you know.
Who's the other villain that shows up after Electro?
So we've got Flint Marko, aka Sandman.
Huh. So that's three villains from the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man movies. One for each of the three movies that came out. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. And two from the two Andrew Garfield movies that came out.
Huh. That is very, very, intriguing.
So we have five villains.
We have five villains, but so far there's none of this Peter Parker, which is interesting.
Yeah.
I wonder if the sixth villain will show up or not. We'll see. There won't be, but
yeah, I was gonna say I don't think there is, Matt.
You know, we'll talk about that later, I think, but I do think it's interesting that he didn't get his own villain, if that might be symbolic of something else.
I also think it was weird that they had five villains as opposed to six, so they could call them the Sinister Six.
Is that a real thing?
Yeah, Sinister Six is a group of, it changes who the members are, but it's Spider-Man like group of baddies. It's like the, you know, it's kind of like the mini Avengers of bad guys or something, you know what I mean? So
okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah.
Maybe. And he usually has like Green Goblin and the Lizard and other people in it. So yeah. Yep. So
that is, yeah, interesting. We got five villains from different universes show up.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gotta contain them all now.
Yeah. So while this is happening, Norman Osborn has reclaimed control of himself from his split green gerblin.
Yeah, it's green gerberlin. It's like a Gerber bat baby food. It's
green, yeah. His green goblin personality. And he ends up at this feast building, which is the organization that Aunt May works for. There's also like a very interesting kind of callback to the Spider-Man movie where and in the comic books where, you know, Spider-Man No More, where he wants to, you know, leaves his suit in a garbage can. This, we have it by a dumpster. We have the Green Goblin mask being destroyed by a dumpster, which is very similar to that, you know. Anyways, Osborn ends up at this feast place, where he's treated for his injuries by May before Peter comes and retrieves him. And basically, you know, he ends up putting him in one of the cages, for lack of a better word.
What they are.
Yeah.
They're containment facilities, I guess. In Doctor Strange's laundry room, no less.
Yes.
Because, you know, you gotta think, you know, just because they're magicians doesn't mean that they don't have to shower and wash their clothes and stuff like that.
Yeah, at one point, one point down there, they even find a goatee guard.
Yeah, that's right.
So he can you know, make his goatee look great.
yeah.
Which you think he would use magic for, but whatever.
For cleaning themselves and food, you think that they'd be able to do magic with that, but yeah.
Exactly.
It's the limitations to it, so.
So, before that, anyways, way before all this happened, we did have a situation where Peter and Aunt May are now staying at Happy Hogan's place because of the better security.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, and things did jump like 6 months in advance, too. So, from the beginning of the movie. I forgot to mention that earlier, too. So, I'm sorry.
Wait, what, it's 6 months later?
Yeah, it's pretty much, it's at least a few months later. I can't remember how much later. I think about 6 months. Basically, what it is because they, you know, they had like, they go back and start school again.
Oh, so like,
yeah.
So he didn't ask to do a spell until like 3 months after
everyone.
Okay, all right, okay. Yeah. I didn't know if it was like right afterwards.
Okay. I don't know if it was 6 months. It was probably about 3 months later or something. I don't know. But okay. It was a little time later.
Okay.
It's not really mentioned in the movie, but you can kind of tell by the way things play out. And plus, we were in like the summertime before, and by the end of the movie, we're at Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh. So, we have... we have all these guys in the containment units in the laundry room. And the laundry room where they also have, you know, this other shit going on down there in the basement where an episode of The Equalizer was filmed there in the 80s.
Yeah. It's weird. It's like, okay.
Basically, what ends up happening here is that the guys are all sitting there discussing all their battles with Spider-Man. The captured villains realize that some of them were pulled from the universe just before they were going to die. Strange prepares a spell contained within a box that will send the villains back to their respective universes to meet their fates. But Peter argues that they should first cure their powers and insanity that some of them have, hoping that doing so would prevent their deaths upon their return. Because he doesn't want them all to die. Because he's, you know, a good kid. Peter Parker ends up like stealing the box spell after a brief fight in the mirror dimension.
What?
Yeah. Where he ends up trapping Strange for quite a while.
through mathematics, the power of math, man.
Yes.
See, math beat magic, man.
Magic man.
Magic man, bam bam, bam bam. Do, 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 do. I love that keyboard sound. Do 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 do. Sorry, good song.
So,
good album. Listen to it. Heart. what's the name? Dreamboat Annie by Heart. Check it out. It's a great, great album. You gotta make sure you listen to the whole album through. Don't skip any songs. Listen to all 38 minutes. Thank me later.
You can stop now and then come back and listen to this podcast if you'd like.
Yeah, sure.
Or listen to it after the podcast. It'd probably be more
convenient. Yeah, you don't gotta do it right now.
we have a situation here now where Peter takes all of the dudes, all the bad dudes,
the bad dudes,
to Happy Hogan's apartment, where he ends up curing Octavius with some technology from Stark Industries. But while he's developing cures for Dylan and Osborn, the Goblin persona ends up taking control of Osborn. And the uncured villains betray Parker. And then Dylan, Marco, and Connors all escape. And while this happens, during this big fight, Osborn kills Aunt May.
Yep, because he's a terrible person.
Yes. That was sad.
Mm-hmm.
And right before she dies, she gives the famous line usually uttered by Uncle Ben, "With great power,
yeah,
also comes great responsibility." Yes.
And I bet you the anti-woke fans are going to be so pissed off about that. Oh, they gave it to a woman. See? You see? They're taking over films, man. I guarantee it. I'm not even joking. I bet you Ben Shapiro is going to mention something like that. They gave Uncle Ben's line to Aunt May. It's like, well, yeah, because Uncle Ben has been dead in this entire franchise. Like, I mean,
yeah. I don't even know. Did they ever mention Uncle Ben?
I don't know, actually. Yeah, so it'd be weird if, like, some random dude that shows up, like, hey, gay kid.
My thing is, like, I don't know if she was ever married. She might not have been.
Yeah, maybe there was no actual Uncle Ben in this
timeline. Yeah.
She tried to give him the cure, and I guess it didn't work.
For
some reason. Not sure why. And then maybe there is no cure. Well, no, there is, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe because they come from different universes, maybe the chemicals.
I think a lot of it had to do with, I think things got broken too and stuff, so it didn't end up happening. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, he threw one of his famous green bombs and I guess it, you know, exploded and shot some glass into her or whatever type thing. Personally, when it comes to the later story, I wouldn't have cured him. I just would have just maybe not let Peter kill him, maybe let the other Peter just drown him or something. At the very least. I mean, I know he's a good guy, but, like, that's the thing is, like, sometimes, unfortunately, you have to be bad in order to defeat evil. I know it's an uncomfortable thought that people don't want to face necessarily, but, like...
Yeah, but there's a difference between, like, the Punisher and Spider-Man. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, then again, the Punisher gets shit done, but so you can make an argument about efficiency versus morality and all that stuff. But
yeah,
morality seems to kind of get.
He just kills people and then lets God sort them out. And do you want to take a quick break here, Matt, and then we'll talk about the rest of the plot?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks.
What is Gen X? What is the silent generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guests every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there.
And we are back. Mm-hmm. So what we got going on here now in the film here, Matt, we've got it where Ned had stolen a ring thing from Doctor Strange.
You know, the ring thing.
You know, the ring thing.
That thing.
That's the technical term for it, right?
Yeah.
He learns how to open portals using Strange's, it's a sling ring.
Yeah, that's right.
He and MJ used to try to locate Peter. Instead, they find two other versions of Peter Parker, who were summoned by Strange's spell dubbed Peter 2 and Peter 3. Yeah.
Even though
Tobey
Maguire is the original Peter,
yeah. I mean,
come on. He's OG Peter Parker.
Man. Yeah. But our Peter's Peter 1, you know. So I know.
The very first Spider-Man from that franchise, was that 2001 or 2002 when that came out?
I don't remember now.
I think it could have been 2000, actually.
Yeah. It was quite a while ago.
It was
about 20 years ago, regardless.
Yeah.
Anyways, so we've got they bring the Spider-Men with them, and they figure out that Peter is, you know, on top of a building thinking about things, you know, near home at the school. All the men share their own stories of losing loved ones, like Uncle Ben and Gwen Stacy, and encourage him to fight in May's honor for what happened to her. The Spider-Men develop cures for the remaining villains, and they lure Dylan, Marco, and Connors to the Statue of Liberty, which is under construction right now because they're adding a Captain America shield to the Statue of Liberty for some fucking reason.
you know, because it's America. It's Captain America, you know.
Yeah. I mean, we already got Rogers the Musical, so we might as well.
They're obsessed with Captain America, you know, Rogers, even though Tony Stark was the one that actually caused everyone to come back to life, which is interesting. You don't see a Iron Man musical, but it could be because of the whole, you know, nature of patriotism. Like, he's Captain America, you know,
exactly. Type of thing.
Even though he actually isn't the one that brought everyone back, but okay.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
So, we've got, they're Peter 2 and our Peter cure Marco and Connors respectfully. Respectively, not respectfully.
And so Dr. Ock still cured, so
yeah. Doc Ock he shows up and he helps all the Parkers cure Dylan. Ends up reconciling with Andrew Garfield's Peter. Octavius and Tobey Maguire's Peter reconnect. Ned accidentally frees Strange from the mirror dimension. So Osborn arrives and he destroys the box spell, rupturing the barrier separating the universe. While Strange tries to maintain the barrier, an enraged Peter almost kills Osborn before Tobey Maguire's Peter convinces him to stand down. There was also a point there where Andrew Garfield's Peter saves MJ.
Yeah.
Which basically got to him because it was something that he wasn't able to do with Gwen. So, you know.
Yeah, that was his little gift or whatever.
Yeah. So it was kind of like almost like he was making up for the fact that he couldn't save Gwen.
Yeah, so everyone else but our Peter got any kind of redeeming gift, you know, basically. Because OG Peter got to stop, you know, his murder, you know, the murderer from, you know.
Yeah.
Let the murderer go free and have a great life. Anyway, so he didn't allow, you know, Peter to finish him after he...
Yeah, well, they cured him, and now he's a good dude.
Well, I'm just saying he didn't get anything out of it, like the other, you know, because the other two got, like, their, like, redeeming moment or whatever.
But it's also... Not redeeming,
they're, like, whatever their word
is. And the thing with Osborn, though, too, I know you would probably say, oh, I would just kill him. But the thing is, it's also, like, it's kind of the idea of rehabilitation or prison or, you know... It's kind of like a metaphor for that in a way, or like the death penalty, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, you know, if
I give it that, but at the same time, I feel like
I'm getting at is we need prison reform anyway. So,
well, he should definitely be in prison somewhere for that. Not just given a new chance at life to do whatever, you know, type of thing, like, because,
So,
our hero's gotta be good, even to the bad people, and the bad people. You might hear like a bump or something. That was me just moving around really quick.
Oh, you weren't killing anybody, were you?
No, of course not. I mean, there's no one here. I mean,
just making sure that you weren't like killing Norman Osborn or anything.
Well, he's not a real person. I mean,
are you sure? I thought maybe, maybe you invited Willem Dafoe over and you were killing him.
Well, but he's the actor who played, I mean, it's not like he is, as far as I know, he's not the Green Goblin.
Good. Maybe,
but he definitely has the personality that he could be the Green Goblin if the Green Goblin was in fact an existing person in this world, but since he's not, he just has the characteristics that could, you know, become part of that persona, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
If anything makes any sense, because now we live in a multiverse world where nothing makes sense, and then that somehow nothing makes sense makes sense. Does that make sense?
No.
And no, yes. I don't think so. Yeah, I...
No,
yeah,
and yes at the same time. Basically, what ends up happening is... to save things in the end, so everybody, all the people from the different universes went back to their respective places after some, you know, some Peter on Peter on Peter hugging. And so then our Peter has to say goodbye to MJ and Ned because he basically ends up deciding to do what he should have done in the first place.
So, everything was all for naught. You got your aunt killed for nothing, you fucking idiot, moron. Like, you almost deserve everything that happens to you now for being that stupid. But here's the thing. Here's the whole thing. This whole movie could have been solved instantly. Here's what it was. Before he asked if anything could have been done, he'd be like, alright, here's the list of people I want to know who I am, and everyone else can forget about me. That right there. Write it down, piece of paper. Boom. Tell them, okay, before you start the spell, not during, not in the middle of it, before, okay, think of these five people?
Yeah.
At the most. I'm pretty sure Doctor Strange would be able to keep, you know, five people in mind while he's doing his spell, like, all right, everyone except for these five people. It's not like Peter's like, oh, well, I want my third cousin 5,000 removed, you know, like, it's like a list of like five or six people. It's fine. Like, or maybe Nick Fury. So probably like 10 people that really need to know who he is.
All the Avengers.
Yeah, so pretty much, like, and then, like, everyone else can be filled in after, because, like, because they're used to, like, weird shit happening, so, like, Nick Fury and them, see, can, like, oh.
See, the,
like,
problem with it all is the fact that you have Stephen Strange and Peter Parker, who are both impulsive people for different reasons.
Yeah.
And neither one of them sat down, really, after they were at the fireplace talking at the beginning, and thought, hey, let's draw out a plan here and figure out what we're going to do before we start casting spells.
Exactly. Like, Ron is like, hey, don't do that spell. And he's like, oh, it's fine. When has this ever hurt us before? It's like, on multiple occasions. I mean,
yeah,
you kind of fucked things up in the first place that messed up your own movie. So, like, you should have learned that lesson, your own lesson right there from that movie. But instead, you're like, oh no, I forgot it a few years later. Now I'm gonna, you know, just because this kid is having a hard time with people knowing who he is. Again, he could have, I mean, that's my whole thing about this. So, like, Doctor Strange made everyone else forget about that party that they had except for himself. So he knew how to do a spell to include at least one person who wouldn't forget what happened. So what's five people? But, you know, Peter keeps adding names to the mix as he's doing the spell. So he's, like, got to concentrate on, you know, adding Ned and MJ or whatever. And then that's what makes him just, you know, abandon the spell and just put it into that box in the first place. So, yeah, should have wrote that down. That's plan A. Plan B, if it didn't work out, fine. So what they could, but I didn't understand this. So my whole thing was, all right, everyone needs to forget I'm Spider-Man. And then, but, you know, we'll find each other again like we did the first time or whatever. Okay. There's a really simple way to do that. Take out your phone, piece of paper, whatever. Write down the whole story that just happened. Say, you're never going to believe this, blah, blah, blah. You know, even take a picture with each other. Save it somewhere where it won't ever leave. I mean, whatever. It's the physical evidence, you know what I mean? Because he didn't say anything changed reality itself. The problem with it is
that the way the spell works at the end there is that people will remember events happening, but they won't remember Peter, even if they see pictures of him. They won't remember their past with Peter in any way. It'll basically be wiped. They could have like a picture on their phone of them with Peter in Europe or whatever. But when they look at it, they're not going to see Peter in the picture. It physically exists, but because of Strange's spell, they don't see it.
Okay. So that they see a piece of paper, though, saying, like, hey, you know.
No, even the piece of paper, anything that has any trace of Peter and the knowledge of him being their friend or anything of his existence is gone.
Well, it's basically convenience magic and convenience.
Yes, I'm just saying that's the way it works. I watched a few videos on the explanation behind this, and that's how it works.
Yeah, okay, it's convenient. Yeah,
yeah, but it's a comic book movie. This is a movie where a dude got bit by a spider and has superpowers. So,
yeah, but it's had beyond that now. This whole genre has changed since the early days. I mean, it's a full fledged.
Yeah,
I mean, they got romance on it. They've got, you know, other kind of, like, relationship issues.
Well, yeah.
They've got stuff like dealing with, like, depression and, like, abuse. I mean, all kinds of, you know, stuff like that now in these movies, which is really, really interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's good that we've got different genres, we got different, you know, stories to tell and everything, and it's not just comic book movies, you know? There's you know, you can have a comic book comedy, you can have a comic book action movie, you can have a comic book romance, you can have, you know, whatever. So later on, after the spell is cast and everyone in the universe knows of Spider-Man but doesn't know that Spider-Man is Peter Parker or knows who Peter Parker is or whatever the fuck it is. Later, Peter attempts to reintroduce himself to MJ and Ned. but basically finds himself unable to do so after seeing a Band-Aid on her forehead because he realizes that she could get hurt again. And he wants to keep them safe. And so then he goes to May's grave and he has a conversation with an unaware Happy Hogan. And then he is inspired to carry on without his real identity by making a new suit and resuming his superhero duties. Okay, and then we've got a mid-credit scene where Eddie Brock, a.k.a., you know, the character from the Venom movies, which I have yet to see, so I don't really know, but and his symbiote, Venom, decide to find Spider-Man after, I guess at the end of the last Venom movie, they were sent to our universe, to the MCU universe.
Oh, so Venom isn't part of the MCU then?
No, basically what it was is at the end of that movie, he was randomly sent to the MCU.
Okay.
And woke up at this resort. And then so what we see is him talking to this bartender who's basically explaining all the stuff that the Avengers have done to him.
Oh, God.
And the reason that he's able to be sent there is because he's connected to Venom, and Venom is connected to all symbiotes in all multiverses. So the fact that the Eddie Brock played by Topher Grace in Spider-Man 3 knew who Spider-Man was brought him to this universe as well.
Oh, I see.
Okay. I mean, there's a chance it probably brought the Topher Grace as well, but we just never saw him, you know?
And it's like, is Venom like a villain of Spider-Man, or is he just like...
Venom is an anti-hero in the Spider-Man universe, but he's also, like, in Spider-Man 3, he was a villain.
Okay.
But it's, you know, he becomes good and bad throughout the history of the comic books, so it's hard to say, you know. So,
okay. So I wonder what interest in Spider-Man is all of a sudden.
Yeah. But anyways, he's got this interest in Spider-Man, but he also he's about to go find him, but then he gets like basically blipped back to his own universe, and but part of his symbiote is left on the counter of that bar.
Oh, that's right.
So, we'll see what happens in the MCU with that, because now that's left behind in the MCU.
So, it'll be a different Venom, probably.
Yeah, we'll probably have somebody else introduced as Venom or something.
Okay.
Or it could be Eddie Brock again, just a different Eddie Brock. Who knows what happens, you know? We'll see.
Okay.
Yeah. With all the, you know... With all the, you know... rights issues between Sony and Marvel and everything being weird, it's hard to say, you know.
So Sony basically owns like almost everything with Spider-Man, because Venom was like
and like his universe, like the Morbius movie's coming out soon, and Morbius is part of the Spider-Man universe, so that's part of Sony.
Okay.
And the Venom movies are part of the Sony as well, and are owned by Sony, and then there's different, you know, like a lot of the like Rogues Gallery and other characters within Spider-Man can be made into movies by Sony with no worries.
Okay.
So they could decide to make a Sandman movie, for example, or a Rhino movie or an Electro movie or whatever if they wanted to, you know? So yeah, we got that. Yeah. I thought it was hilarious though. I liked the banter between the three Spider-Men.
Yeah.
We had the one point where they're talking and he's like, I was a member of the Avengers. And he's like, was that a band?
Right, they have no idea.
Yeah, they have no idea. He's like, are you one of the Avengers? And then he's like talking about how, and then, Tobey Maguire talks about how he fought an alien creature, and then Tom Holland says, "Yeah, I fought an alien creature in space." And then Andrew Garfield is like, I fought some Russian dude in a rhinoceros looking machine."
Wow.
Oh boy. Yeah. So it's pretty funny. Do you want to take another quick break here, Matt, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about some trivia and stuff about the movie if you'd like to.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, we'll be right back.
What is Gen X? What is the Silent Generation? What do generations have in common? Hi, I'm Trish the Dish from the Gen X Voice podcast, and I invite you to listen to conversations I have with folks from different generations, backgrounds, beliefs, and experiences in an attempt to see what connects rather than divides us. Even though Gen X has been called slackers, Karens, or not mentioned at all in some cases, we are the bridge generation, so I feel compelled to do my part to destroy ageism by bringing all these voices together. And as a bonus, each guest gets to answer some 80s questions at the end of each show. So download and listen to Gen X Voice today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And let's see how much we have in common after all.
Hi, this is Catherine, host of a new fashion podcast, The Real Fashion School Dropout. Join me as I interview guest every week in the fashion and beauty space, and we gossip on all things fashion and beauty and even get into some personal stories of their journey in the industry. You can find us on Apple, Spotify, pretty much wherever you get your podcast. Hope to see you there. Rolling.
And we are back. Okay, so here's some quick trivia here, Matt, about this movie before we wrap things up here. So, Benedict Cumberbatch has admitted to not reading the full script, wanting to surprise himself with the final product.
Nice.
Willem Dafoe would only reprise his role as the Green Goblin on the condition that he still be allowed to perform the majority of his own stunts like he did in 2002 Spider-Man movie.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's almost 20 years later, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's like in his 60s, so.
Like, yeah, you're not a spring chicken anymore, man.
Jamie Foxx and Willem Dafoe were very excited to play their respective villains again. Foxx, in particular, was pleased that he wasn't going to be blue this time. Alfred Molina, meanwhile, joked that he was only in it for the paycheck before confirming that he liked the story a lot before signing on. He was joking, so, yeah. For his appearance in the film, Alfred Molina was digitally de-aged to make him appear as he had in Spider-Man 2, and his mechanical tentacles were created through CGI rather than through puppetry like in the first film. Mm. When Strange smacks Peter's astral form out of his body, you see that Peter's head has transparent versions of the classic wavy spider sense lines that appear in the comic books. Sam Raimi was very happy to see Doc Octopus in the film's first trailer, praising that the character's appearance and tentacle animation, while also expressing excitement to see the full film. The film marks the... And Sam Raimi, by the way, is directing Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. So
nice.
So this film marks the first MCU trilogy to be directed by the same director. John Watts directed all of the films in this franchise. Like the original Spider-Man movie, Willem Dafoe once again wore prosthetic teeth as Norman Osborn, as his real teeth were shown for the Green Goblin persona. So, yeah. Willem Dafoe went to the premiere for this wearing a green face mask. So, Tom Holland helped to save this movie from cancellation by forcing renegotiations between Sony and Disney under the terms of the new deal. Not only does Spider-Man No Way Home still take place within the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but Spider-Man can also appear in future MCU movies, as well as Sony's own Spider-Man franchise. So we'll see what happens with the future of Spider-Man. It's going to be interesting. This is the 10th time that Jon Favreau has appeared in an MCU film.
Wow.
Yeah. The Green Goblin mockingly delivers a speech to Peter about the nature of choice, much like he did to Peter Parker of his own universe in Spider-Man. He also warns Peter, no good deed goes unpunished, which is essentially the message of his "in spite of everything you've done" lecture in the his universe's Spidey. Tom Holland filmed the movie Uncharted before this movie. However, this movie is going to be was released first. So yeah, there's a lot of other trivia here that we could go through, but basically, Matt, what do you what are your final thoughts here on this film?
It's a very dark MCU film. It's very at least from just watching it the first time. It's I don't know how to describe it. It's very deep. It's not like let's say the first Avengers film, like where like there's some humor in this movie, you know. But like you could even argue that maybe that there's even more banter in this movie than there are other ones. But there's still like almost like a dark cloud hanging over the whole, because you know what's at stake. I mean, like, you know, you got the multiverse cracking open, and you know Doctor Strange is just like frantically trying to keep it closed, and then you got Peter having to make this, you know, terrible decision to just, you know, go ahead with the original idea even after losing everything, which could have just done that in the beginning, or just let people know who he is for like a couple of years until they just get used to it, you know. Then again, no, that's the whole thing. He's like 18 years old in the movie. He doesn't really think long term, probably. So, you know, he's not thinking like, you know, 10 years from now, when I'm 28 years old, probably no one's going to care that I'm Spider-Man anymore. You know what I mean? But, yeah. Like, when you're 18, you don't really think about what 28 is going to be like. You know what I mean? Like, and, so pretty much we're seeing, like, an actual movie of, like, a child, you know,
yeah,
coming to grips with being a superhero, as opposed to, like, Iron Man, who was probably in his mid-30s at the time when he finally started the hero gig, you know? The same thing with, you know, Doctor Strange. She was probably like, you know, around the same age. So it's like, you know, people who have already, you know, have lived lives, you know, plus they had a lot of resources to begin with and things like that. You know, Doctor Strange was, you know, a very prominent surgeon, probably very rich, you know. Tony Stark, obviously, you know, insanely wealthy because of his father built his empire and he,
yeah,
continued it, you know. So with Spider-Man, you know, with Peter, you just got a kid, you know, who lives with his aunt, you know, like a pretty much just decent sized apartment, but nothing really, you know, fantastic. Fantastic Four coming out soon, by the way. Anyway,
directed by the same director as this film.
Oh, I would say, you know, if you're gonna see this movie, really, like, really pay attention to it, because even for a superhero film, it's not something that you could just sort of...
I really hope nobody's still listening to this that hasn't seen the movie, so...
Well, yeah. Whatever, I just mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, to think of it as a serious movie that happens to also be... That's what I'm trying to say. This felt like a movie... This felt like a drama... disguised as a superhero movie. That's what it felt like.
Well, I mean, it basically was.
Like a super, yeah.
I will say, I mean, my main takeaway with this is that I think it was a good... It was a good ending for Toby and Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man characters as well. You know? Because I think both those movie franchises didn't really end on a good note.
No, they really did. I mean, Spider-Man 3 with Tobey was kind of not that great. Andrew didn't get a third. So technically, Andrew now has a third Spider-Man movie.
Yeah. I will tell you this. I think this and seeing Tick, Tick, Boom recently has solidified my love for Andrew Garfield.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have a little bit of a man crush on this guy. He is such a good actor.
Marush?
Yeah, I'm Marush. Yeah, he's so good. And in this movie specifically too, he's basically bringing forward a lot of emotion that I think helps the interaction between the three Spider-Men. It's interesting. I mean, I don't know. It's just so cool. And if you haven't seen Tick, Tick, Boom, watch it. Quite possibly the best film of the year. Just saying. yeah. If you're listening to this, right when you're done, go watch Tick, Tick, Boom. It's on Netflix. You know, you can watch it there. but anyways, that's my final thoughts on this. I really am interested to see where they're going to take Spider-Man after this, too, and see where we land and everything. Mm-hmm. It'll be interesting to see where we see him again.
Because, yeah, who knows? Maybe he'll eventually, you know, start from scratch. And to really think about it, too, I mean, it might not. I know it seems like a downer, really, because he's just by himself now. He's got pretty much no friends or family, and he's, like, only, like, 18 years old. So it's, like, that really does seem like a bummer. Well, it doesn't seem like it is a bummer. Yeah. And he pretty much lives in like the same type of shitty apartment that, you know, Tobey Maguire's character did in, you know, OG Spider-Man, you know, from early 2000s. So maybe like, you know, it'll take a few months or even, well, I mean, if he decides to ever just, cause you know, I don't know if he's going to keep to that prompt. I mean, he's all, like you said, he's pretty impulsive, so he makes decisions on the fly, so who knows if he'll change his mind within 6 months. Or
I think eventually MJ and Ned will be part of his life again.
Right. Think about it, too. I mean, I know, again, see, a lot of this, I think, is the perspective of age. So, like, they've only known each other for probably 2 years, and I know, like, as you get older, 2 years really means nothing. Like, for example, the pandemic's been around for 2 years almost at this. Well, yeah, it has been, and that doesn't really seem that long of a time, but when you're 16 to 18 years old, 2 years does feel like a long time, which again I think kind of plays into the impulsivity of his actions, where it's like, dude, like, it doesn't matter, like, in five, like people's attention spans are so short these days. I bet you within a year people would, maybe not even a year, maybe 6 months, people would just not even be interested anymore about the fact that he's Spider-Man. Like, they would have moved on to like something else, maybe a year tops, and then there would be some new threat or whatever, you know. But you know, when you're like that age, you're not really you know, thinking of in those terms. You're not even thinking of like 2-3 years ahead of you, let alone 5 or 10. And you think, okay, well, I'm still in my 20s, I've got my whole life ahead of me, who cares? Everyone's pretty much just, they've been unfazed by the fact that they know I'm Spider-Man. But like, you know, so it's like, if they've only known each other, roundabout ways, what I'm saying is, they've only had 2 years of friendship to lose, versus, like, they can have a whole lifetime of friendship they gain afterwards.
Yeah, so that and hopefully they do.
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be nice to see. I just can't wait to see where they go with this, if they bring Miles Morales in eventually, or different things, you know, we'll see what happens.
That would be really sweet.
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of interesting where Jamie Foxx said to Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man at one point, when he took the mask off, he's like, when he found out who he was originally, he's like, yeah, I was, you know, you're from Queens and everything. I was hoping you were a black guy.
Like, I thought you'd be black.
Yeah.
He's basically saying, because he, you know, cares about the underclass and the poor, you know, he's, cause he, you know, thought he's like,
yeah,
you know, one of his own people or what, which is interesting about that though. Electro was, because I thought in the Andrew Garfield movies, he didn't actually know Peter Parker was Spider-Man.
That's so what I'm trying to figure out. I don't understand where that came from, but we'll see what happens. I mean,
is sure he a variant? Like, is he not even from...
Because that's the thing, is because he looks different, he doesn't have the comb over, and he doesn't look like a dork.
Right, he's not blue, which is, oh my god, what a terrible graphics that were. I mean, yeah, I love the fact, I love his yellow lightning in this was, I'm like, okay, that's how he should have looked the whole time. Like, you know.
Anyways,
so, yeah.
I think we should just wrap things up here, Matt. I think, you know, if anybody has any thoughts about this, please let us know. Send me a message at mike@cullenpark.com. Also, you know, go to our Facebook page, our, you know, check all of our links are at all2real2.com. Let us know what you thought about the movie, because it'd be really interesting to see what other people thought of it. And what you think the future of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is going to be, or the Spider-Man universe as well. You know, check out our TeePublic, check out our Patreon, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcast, or wherever you can. Wear a spider mask. Get your shots. Wear a
spider condom.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Wear a spider condom. And until next time, folks. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.